That music was so pretty. I was wondering if I should just continue and listen to that beautiful music. As a disclaimer, before I begin the program, I am totally responsible for the information and material I put on this program. World Watchers International, the station, is not responsible for anything that I say on this program of World Watchers. This is broadcast number 573, November the 29th, 1982. As I've been doing the last few weeks or the last month, I think it's interesting to go back to the subjects and mention some of the things I was talking about. Yes, 1 year ago tonight, November 29th, 1981, because the year goes so fast. We know how quickly that passes, and we forget what was in the news. I was talking about how the CIA double-crossed Anwar Sadat and murdered him, and how they would double-cross Israel, how the CIA sacrificed Richard Welch in Athens, Greece, for more tighter laws of people investigating the CIA. I referred to the Nguyen Bank, that notorious bank in Australia with the links to Hong Kong and to Henry Kissinger, and the bank that was used for Task Force 157 of the CIA that's in the news this week, a long article in the Wall Street Journal, and the role of Henry Kissinger in killing Salvador Allende. And Seymour Hersh has an article about that in Atlantic Monthly, the December issue of Atlantic Monthly, a very good story about the CIA and the Defense Department and the role in killing Salvador Allende in Chile. And I also was talking about the role of narcotics traffic in Thailand, and Thailand is in the news a lot with the DeLorean attempts to, he was to purchase his heroin in Thailand, and also a lot of other stories come out of Thailand, the tickets to Thailand for the Tylenol suspect and so forth. We won't recount what is happening everywhere this week as an overlay to last year, but I do want to mention some of the topics. I was talking about Carlos the Jackal and how he had protection in Syria with Frank Turpel. Carlos was, I mentioned just several weeks ago, on the yacht with Kevin McCullough, who was murdered. And I believe one of the reasons he was murdered because he linked Carlos to the CIA and the funding of the so-called left, actually to the Defense Department. And then there were other subjects. The Richard Allen story was very much in the news a year ago. And Frankie's gang, the Caesar's Palace, Australia connections, the White House, and the mob. Now, 1 year later, Ronald Reagan is saying that he wants to go after the mob, organized crime. And he has many, many cabinet appointments, personal friends, so tied up into organized crime. It'll be interesting to see how he goes about this, or whether that will be the excuse to kill him by using a mobster, just as they use the Anacostia Cubans to help with the murder of John Kennedy. There are many top stories that I just can't possibly cover this evening because I want to do a good share of this program on the Vatican scandals that we've been talking about so much for the past two or three years that are really coming to a head right now. Edwin Wilson's trial has been put off in Houston, Texas. The excuse to put it off was that he was brought here illegally for his trial, but I believe it's because he's revealed too much about his working for the Defense Department, he said this week, and they acknowledged that he was working for the Defense Department when he was arming Idi Amin and Gaddafi and the PLO. The judge said, what has this got to do with the case? And they had nothing to do with it in Maryland, but they're delaying the Houston trial. California Magazine, if you can get a hold of it, December 82, has a long story on the death of Norman Gary, the attorney at 20th Century Fox, and I want to do a lot more on that. Penthouse has a good issue, the December, that may be going off the stands soon. The intimations of how Nelson Rockefeller died, a scandalous story, and how the sex habits of the very rich, how they get into trouble and how their deaths or murders are covered up because the scandal is so horrendous. And they also have the links of John Belushi's murder to the Los Angeles Police Department. And I want to update the Tylenol story, which is horrendous. They want it to fade away. And the DeLorean Motors, which I'm going to put off tonight. And the most current 250, what I would say the most important 250 murders of the last 3 months. Heads of corporations, bankers, very prominent people, civil rights people, and so forth. We'll have to put that out. And many stories on the Irish government, the CIA funding the IRA, and the head of the Irish government finally coming to Washington this week to say, cut it out. we've had enough. And of course, this would tie in, I know, to the DeLorean Motor Company front. They've had, as long as that collapses, they have come to this country and said, quit arming the IRA from your CIA, which we have been doing. And also the CIA arming Nicaragua is very much in the news. Wall Street Journal, November 27th, just this last week, has a long article on Task Force 157. That is one of the most important connecting links to the assassination hit teams that were set up after the Permanex operation for murdering John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, and Martin Luther King. Always under Navy intelligence. This was Edwin Wilson and William Casey and Bobby Inman, many people I've mentioned week after week. A very important article. And one of the attorneys representing members of the task force who want more money because the task force has been stopped after Edwin Wilson was making multi-million-dollar deals and Frank Nugent was murdered in Australia. The bank collapsed, the Nugent Hand Bank, and the task force collapsed. But the attorney is none other than Bernard Fensterwald, my old buddy that I called the day the men were arrested at Watergate. He's a CIA attorney, and he's representing those men. And he also represented Mrs. John Paisley, whose husband was in Navy intelligence when Lee Harvey Oswald was in Navy intelligence, and who was killed on the yacht and had direct communications down to Australia. So Bernard Fensterwald from the Committee to Investigate Assassinations is representing the task force. And again, like Steve Sagan titled his book, The Circle, these people make a full cycle. Always the John Kennedy assassination, the Robert Kennedy, the John Lennon story fits into this, and many, many murders, the Salvador Allende, the Yolanda Letelier, many murders, but the team folded up and they want more money, and Fensterwald is representing some of them. The National Examiner has a story this come Tuesday, I believe it'll be Tuesday, that I did on Perry Redwarthen, the Nazi from Oroville. He was to spring Charles Manson, and then we'd have a 6 or 10 month search for Charles Manson after the Tylenol story faded away, and he would be hidden by, protected by 100 Nazis in California while the law enforcement could strengthen their muscles and the SWAT teams come out, such as the SLA. The story that I have is in the National Examiner, and if you don't get it, if the program gets to you in the East or overseas or away too far and you don't get the article, I do make copies of them and send me a self-addressed stamped envelope. And if it's not this week, it'll be next week. And then the next assignment they've asked me to do is the 12 or 14 deaths around the takeover of 20th Century Fox Studio, including Grace Kelly and a whole team of people that have direct relationships to this cast of characters. And I will be doing that story, but that will take a few more weeks to get out. And now I do want to mention where the Pope went to Sicily for the first time in 600 years. A Pope went to Palermo to say, cut out the drug business. There was an assassination attempt or an intention to do it. They arrested several people who had ammunition, who had explosives, who had knives. Two of them were German men. A third one wasn't identified, but he was in Sicily asking for the mafia to stop their operation. And yet, on the second half of this program, or into the first, if we get there, and I'll give you a little preview of what's to come, and maybe you read it, the Vatican Bank was caught with over $600 million in heroin this week. The largest drug dealing, gun-running operation in Europe, funding the banks in Switzerland and Germany, and for Nazi organizations around the world, they were caught in an arrest of 200 people in the Banco Ambrosiano, the Vatican Bank, for all purposes, in Milan, where the Milan Mafia began with, it didn't begin there, but the Milan Mafia was Montini, who became Pope Paul VI, and this Auschwitz Pope, John Paul II, his protege. So the Pope was in Sicily telling the mafia, to stop their operation, which later, 2 days later, three, is a direct contradiction. But there was an assassination gang that was attempting to get him, just as there was in Spain, on his last trip. And I mentioned that because Ronald Reagan is going to South America, including Colombia. And if there were a way to duplicate the Hinckley efforts, but to erase the failure and get him, they might have a drug dealer down in Colombia wipe him out and make George Bush president. Because George Bush at this time is being exposed indirectly through the Task Force 157, through the Nguyen Bank, through the Heron connections, the books on the Orlando Letelier murder. It would be very important if he were president to hush all that talk. And Reagan's pretty old anyway, so I just think he better be careful in Colombia. There was an article in the Los Angeles Times this week. The total sale of drugs in this country was $79 billion. $79 billion. Exxon sales are $108 billion. So next to Exxon, it is the largest industry in the United States. That tells you something about what's going on in this country. That figure also then compounds the cost of prisons, police, investigators, wiretappings, and so forth. The society section of the Washington Post, and it's carried out here in the Monterey Peninsula Herald, Betty Beal always has a marvelous, revealing story. And over the Thanksgiving holiday, she gives an item that I have to share with you. There were two parties in Washington, D.C. that she refers to, and one is a cast of characters right out of the Vatican scandal that we'll go to. One party was given for the at the embassy of the Luxembourg embassy. The Liechtenstein and the Luxembourg embassies are directly tied to and lost a tremendous amount of money thanks to Roberta Calvi and Paul Marcinkus from the Vatican and the Vatican scandals. Well, they celebrated at Thanksgiving, and these celebrations must be places where they meet. They look very social, but highest level echelon meet. At the party was Secretary of Defense Caspar Weinberger, the ambassador to Luxembourg, and among people at the party was National Security Chairman and Mrs. Bill Clark, William Clark, with direct links to the Vatican, the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, the President's Council, Mr. and Mrs. Fred Fielding, and of course his name surfaced at the time of the Casey scandals, and he's linked to the highest echelon of CIA counterintelligence for many, many years. Also in the party was Senate Armed Services Chairman and Mrs. John Tower. Mrs. John Tower is the sister of Samuel Cummings, who supplies the weapons sales. Her brother is from the CIA. He's stationed in London. He has the largest arms factory or shipment anywhere in the world, supplying these arms deals that in turn are paid with heroin, and then the cash goes into the banks for these Nazi organizations. Mrs. John Tower is Mrs. Cummings, and his offices, he lives in London, but his offices are in Monte Carlo, and he again is linked to Frank Turpel, Kevin McCullough, Carlos the Jackal. Also, there was General Counsel for Defense, Mr. and Mrs. William H. Taft, the ambassadors of Belgium, and Mrs. Claire Luce, who they describe her gown, but they didn't go on to say that she was a representative to the Vatican, and very much tied into the CIA role with John Connolly and the CIA funding elections in Italy and in the United States, money going back and forth to Italy, Italian elections and American elections, Vatican sending them here, CIA sending them there, and recycling to keep the governments that these particular people want in power. And then there was another party of that was described in the same column, which was very interesting, given by Mr. Mitterrand's envoy to Washington, the French president's envoy, and including Mr. and Mrs. Chief Justice and Mr. Warren Berger. It was very important. He said, troubleshooting roving ambassador Vernon Walters, and he's one of the most important men of this age in terms of espionage, counter coups, and death squads. Attending the party was roving ambassador Vernon Walters, also a representative ambassadorship to the Vatican at one time. They sent me to the extreme unction cases. That's the murder cases. And he comes out, it's in the Washington Post. They send me to the extreme unction cases. And he was the only one who took consolation in Yuri Andropov's new leadership in the Soviet Union. He said, with Andropov as former head of the KGB, he's now top enchilada in Russia. With Yoa, J-O-A-O, Figueredo, F-I-G-U-E-I-R-E-D-O, former chief of Brazilian intelligence, is now president of Brazil. And George Bush, former director of the CIA, is now vice president. Walters said, maybe deputy director of the CIA at one time, this is Walters, and also envoy of the Vatican, maybe there is hope for me. He said, where there's extreme unction, which is the CIA term for murdering someone, I remember reading the Betty Beal column, the Jody Jacobs social columns, the part of it on the air the night before Reagan was shot. And because of the guest list and the party that included the entourage of military around Alexander Haig, I predicted and said that Ronald Reagan would be shot very shortly. And within 12 hours, there was that episode from the Hilton Hotel where John Hinckley shot Ronald Reagan. So much for the social column. A very important article having to do with Germany and building up to these other stories that I want to seriously dwell at length and not spread myself so thin because they're terribly important. German politicians implicated in scam. Now, this is a scam of money going to Franz Josef Strauss. If there were serious Nazis from World War II who are in power today, they would be in Germany. Franz Josef Strauss, Henry Kissinger in this country, Helene von Damm going on to Vienna. There, Vernon Walters is one of them, and George Bush and J. Peter Grace. Now, France, this is from Bonn, Germany. Franz Josef Strauss and several other leading West German politicians have been questioned by prosecutors. They've been charged by the West German company that they made improper campaign contributions, that they funded money to campaigns. And the group that was doing this was the Friedrich Flick Group. Now, this is the IG Farben Nazi Flick Group that are partners with J. Peter Grace, who I talked about at length on this program last week, and his links to Otto Ambrose, who designed Auschwitz and the chemicals for Auschwitz. The Friedrich Flick Group, F-L-I-C-K, look in any index on the history of Nazi Germany, a privately owned holding company, made large under-the-table contributions to get a waiver of taxes of $175 million. Now, they had a sale of the Daimler-Benz Motor Company for $781 million, and to get out of paying the taxes, they gave money to these politicians, but we don't know where this money came from, so long as the Vatican secret and the Panamanian banks are secret and the Bahamas banks and the Swiss banks. I believe that $1.2 billion of that missing money from the Vatican and Ambrosiano goes into these politicians. And this week, there was an item that the $600 million in the heroin sales goes to those countries, Germany and Switzerland. Among the officials whose depositions they took were Strauss, chairman of the Christian Social Union. He's a very important person. He was questioned in this time period about contributions from the Flick Group, and the Friedrich Flick Group is partners with J. Peter Grace. That is Ronald Reagan's appointment to cut the cost, domestic costs in this country, who's under investigation because of his 1,000-member team, who is their secret in this country. I mentioned to you last week, from 1975 to 1979, there's $378 million from the Flick Group to this terrible person over in Germany. And along with him is the economic minister, Otto Lambsdorff, like Lamb, L-A-M-S-D-O-R-F-F, and Hans Mathofer, M-A-T-T-H-O-F-E-R, and Manfred Lahnstein, L-A-H-N-S-T-I-N. So the Flick Group, the old Nazi group, the partner of J. Peter Grace, who I've been talking about so many weeks in a row, they've been caught giving $378 million to these politicians, and Franz Josef Strauss is the first man mentioned on that list. Now, I'm going into the Vatican situation, but to get to the Nazi continuity of this through Strauss and through these various names that reappear from World War II up to the present time, there was an article in the New York Times, November 27th, 1982. Pope promises to assist the bank study. And I'll get back to this again later and refer to it. But John Paul assigned three people to invest the Vatican Bank, to investigate the scandal of the Bank of the Vatican and its web network to the Banco Ambrosiano. One is Cardinal Cook, who St. Patrick Church in New York is where John DeLorean goes every day, allegedly, when he's in New York, and takes the children there every Sunday. Then there are three other officials, one from Europe and one from Switzerland. Now, because the Vatican has had problems with their money, they've assigned a fourth man to help them in the future and to look into the past. Cardinal Cook and four bankers, three who originally named, will study the effect of the Vatican Bank and the Ambrosioni failure and the hanging of Roberta Calvi, the president of Banco Ambrosioni. They will continue their inquiry, but these four men not only will investigate the past, but they will guide the bank in their current operations. Now, the fourth man named to guide the bank is of high international standing, according to the New York Times. He's Herman Apps, H-E-R-M-A-N-N-A-B-S, of West Germany. If you want to know about Herman Apps, there are books. I'm going to give you references on them next week. I don't want to spend too much time on those. I have a page from one book because it's so important. It's the book called The Pledge Betrayed. It came out this last year, and it was the promise that Americans and people around the world thought that Nazism would be weeded out. It was written by Tom Bauer, B-O-W-E-R, published by Doubleday. And it tells about I.G. Farben and Dr. Otto Ambrose and Auschwitz and the hard Nazis and the corporates from Krupp that were supposed to go on trial for war crimes. And in the book, The Pledge Betrayed, it tells how the Americans were betrayed. There's a picture of Konrad Adenauer, the first chancellor of Germany, with his state secretary, Hans Globke, who drafted the Nuremberg race laws for eliminating the Jews and the cripples and the gypsies and separating the first experimenting on the mentally ill and wiping them out. The next picture is the picture of the IG Farben Managing Board in 1937. Second from the right is Herman Apps, ABS, a member of the supervisory board. He also represents the Reich Bank, R-E-I-C-H, the Reich Bank. And Mr. Apps worked at IG Farben. He was a Nazi war criminal, as was Otto Ambrose, who works for our energy department and is a partner with Mr. Grace and the Flick Group. But now, resurrected, like out of the ashes, come these people, these hard Nazi war criminals, to get appointment for the Vatican to decide where money should go when the Reich Bank was funneling money out of Germany so that they could start their Nazi period over again. All Honorable Men by Mr. Martin has the items on this man. He is in most of the books on I.G. Farben and the war crimes. Now, this man has been appointed to the Vatican to assist them with their financial problems. At the same time, the same week that this comes out, the scandal of the millions of dollars of the Flick Group, also named as Nazi war criminals, funding Mr. Strauss, who is the hardest Nazi in Europe today. So a lot of people think that World War II is over and through, but those people believe in the Tooth Fairy, and those that listen every week on this program get a pretty good idea of what's really coming down. One other story of tremendous interest in the news today, Carl Albert, who is Speaker of the House, is writing a book. And he held on to papers that were supposed to be destroyed. And it was the 1973 plan to take over the presidency. Spiro Agnew was out during the Watergate period. Richard Nixon was going to be impeached. He was going to be out. And a team around Carl Albert in 1973 were pumping him to become the president, but then they slipped Gerald Ford in. And the article, it's in the San Francisco Chronicle today, and it comes from the Washington Post. This is November 29th. Gives you the whole era of the insidiousness of the politicians I've been talking about. The double talking, the same people that were there when John Kennedy was murdered, who did the transition for Lyndon Johnson, who are going to take over the White House for that Carl Albert. Now, starting in 1972, when Watergate came down, Richard Nixon got the support of Reverend Moon, funded, heavily funded, who came to this country and had his rallies. And Reverend Moon and Tongson Park and Susie Park were messing around and blackmailing the House of Representatives, the senators. And Carl Albert is one of those who had a little bedroom behind the House office buildings with his Korean woman. And when the Koreagate story came out, he was in the middle of that web. And at the time that Nixon was being Watergated, as a transition team, if they got Carl Albert, they would have gotten the whole Koreagate team right into the White House under Carl Albert. Now, there's a picture of Gerry Ford with Carl Albert. Part of the transition team was supposed to be wise elder statesmen like Earl Warren, the man who lied about the Nazis and the mob, organized crime, Nazis, and drug syndicate. Those were the things that were covered up in the murder of the President of the United States. Those were the people that gained by increasing the narcotics in Southeast Asia and got their power. Among the advisors, he was still alive, were George Ball, Elliot Richardson, who began the mind control programs in this country, the ones during that administration, and Earl Warren, the elder statesman. The speech was written by Kennedy's writer Sorensen. He was Kennedy's speechwriter, so that Carl Albert could get up and say, "At no time did I seek this awesome burden, but I cannot shrink from my responsibility." Blah blah blah. The whole speech is there. Get the Washington Post. The when somebody gets up like Gerald Ford, they had another speech, and this is the one Gerald Ford gave when he was became the president. "We want to seek to knit the wounds of Watergate, the Vietnam War, the political divisiveness is behind us." Well, who assisted him? They wanted Joseph Califano. That's the rat that worked with Alexander Haig and helped him with his Bay of Pigs and promotions. Dean Rusk of the Vietnam War, Clark Clifford, who goes back through the Howard Hughes Organization and Espionage Incorporated, Bill Moyers, who looked so elite and intellectual on public broadcasting, who was one of those who betrayed the assassination of John Kennedy and was he was the press secretary for Lyndon Johnson, handing out the lies. And Tommy the Cork Corcoran, he was supposed to help them. He wasn't dead then. Corcoran was the attorney for the Air America, for Anna Chenault's Flying Tigers, and for Reverend Moon. So you had in the transition team, if that little Carl Albert, that mousy little guy, used to sit, you know, like 4 feet tall in a chair, in case he was the president, he was pumped up. He was told matters of state by the CIA. And this whole entourage goes right back to all the murders and transitions I've studied since the death of John Kennedy. This is what the Washington Post story says. "No stranger to presidential transitions, Sorensen was a top Kennedy aide, a rat, in 1961 when Kennedy took office as president. He assisted in the transition of President Johnson when Kennedy was assassinated. Off with your head, blow it up, on with the next. In 1972, at the request of George McGovern, he prepared a transition plan that didn't have to be used. Lots of luck, George McGovern." But the names here, Tommy the Cork and Carl Albert and this whole team, Clark Clifford and Bill Moyer and Sorensen and Califano, they're all there. So no matter who's elected or appointed, the transition was the president, the vice president, the speaker of the House. You may as well know that the elections are a ripoff, and these people simply have the same advisors until they drop dead, until people like these old lawyers like John McCloy or Joseph Ball or Earl Warren's gone, Clark Clifford, until some of them go, or they all go, they're all throwbacks to the time when World War II was over and the Nazis were brought to this country. They brought them in and they protect that modus operandi that I've been talking about, the Nazification of America, the drug dealing, the crime syndicate, the weapons. There's a combination there, and the church making this world safe specifically for the Roman Church. This is one of the things that is in their heads, make it safe for the Middle Ages. And if any event happens that there's a change of policy, bring on the old team, write the same darn speeches, I won't say the other words, and let's get on with it. Now, one more item before we take a split for 1 minute and talk about the problems at the Vatican this week. New York Times has a picture of Helene von Damm, politics ambassadorships, the twain shall meet, and a quotation of Malcolm Toon, who's been in the Foreign Service for years. He said, some appointees have made us look like the laughing stock of the world. There's a picture of Helene von Damm nominated to as ambassador to Austria. Imagine with Mr. Strauss and the Flick Group and Mr. Abst and the Nazis funding Europe and the Vatican money flowing there. How nice it would be to have Helene von Damm, who worked for the von Volschwing gang as a interpreter and writer and invested in TCI, that corporation I talked about before and many times. Kuhn says we are the only country in the world that behaves this way. He cited certain appointees that we have and horrendous appointments in London, in Mexico City, in Paris, the connivory that goes into these appointments. And again, they speak for this very select, minute group that want to really control our lives in every way, and they seem to be swinging along. There doesn't seem much to stop them. There's an article in the Wall Street Journal, Vienna, Freedom's Waiting Room, how important it is to get through Vienna, out from other countries and how it borders in so many areas. And Helene von Damm wants that plump job, as I say, while Abs and the Flick Group and J. Peter Grace are in the news. It is a rerun of World War II if we don't watch out. Now, I'm going to take a break here for 1 minute while I change the other side of the tape. This is taped as we're on the air.